Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's show is going to discuss an aspect of the doctrine of soteriology, that is, the doctrine of salvation. And we're going to look at what God intends for the believer's life here, in the cosmic system. And in other words, God shows us and tells us how we are to live. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says this, quote, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." In other words, "and you hath he made alive." The new birth is pivotal. It is vital for the believer. It is a necessary experience. It is a mandate that the believing one is born again. Jesus discusses this in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. It is necessary in the nature of the case that the believer is born again by the Spirit of God. We call this regeneration. The prefix re means again, or so. We have this very important term, this very important doctrinal reality that must occur within the life of the individual who is a believing one. So this is necessary in the nature of the case, because without the new birth and without the Spirit's presence within the life of the individual, then the individual is not born again, and he or she does not really belong to God. So Paul states, "And you hath he made alive, who were," past tense, "who were." In the Greek, the word "were" is the Greek word ontas, O-N-T-A-S, and we get our word ontology from this word. And ontas is in what we call the locative case. So he is talking about location or where we were dead, ontos, in trespasses and sins. This was our customary abode before the new birth. And so we have two important words here. We were dead, and of course the word dead is an adjective, within the sphere of trespasses and sins. The word trespasses is paraptomasi, and this word includes known sin, or sin involving guilt. This word also means unknown sins. It also includes unintentional sins, incurring serious guilt. So this is a very, very powerful term. And if you have a moment, please read Psalm 19:13 and Galatians 6:1. And so, once again, that word is paraptomasi. Then the word sins is in the plural. You who are dead in trespasses and sins. Harmartias is the word here. The term sinner is in the Greek is harmartolos, and it is also an adjective, and it's a descriptor for one who practices sinful behavior. So we have paraptomasi and hamartias. So then Paul goes on in verse 2, and he states, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The word disobedience in the Greek text means those who will not be persuaded. And so this is an act of will. This is an act of defiance. So the children, or the huios of apathias. And so we get our, of course, you can tell by the sound, we get our word apathy from this word. And yes, these persons are apathetic to the word of God. They have no interest in serving God. So this is a very frightening term as well. Verse 3, it says, among whom also we is in the emphatic position in the Greek text, all had our way of life in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling is a term of quality, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that is the intellect, and whereby nature. And this word is fuzai, from which you get physics, and whereby nature the children. And again, Paul, here he uses the term techna. This is another term to describe immature ones. Not nipioi, babies, or nipios, for baby, but he uses the word techna, which means young ones. So whereby nature, the children of orge, or anger, even as others. Then Paul's famous dichotomy, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now, again, Paul talks about us being within the sphere of the ontology of death. But that is no longer our reality. We have a new reality. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul states that we were made accepted in the Beloved. We were made accepted in the Beloved. And not only that, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul talks about the power of the resurrection, the resurrection power of God that has been made available to us who believe. It is an inherent power. Everything is of God. The power to live a life that is well-pleasing unto God has been provided by God. And so we are extricated, as it were, from this old life, life within the cosmos, with all the stuff that is associated with living within the cosmos, the believing one has been made new. And so, therefore, when we go to Romans 6, which is Paul's great treatise on soteriology, or the doctrine of salvation, Paul says this to us, Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The word, the adjective old is paleos, that the body of sin might be made to cease, not destroyed, but made to cease. In Galatians 2:20, Paul talks about the ego being crucified with Christ. When Paul says, ego eimi, I am crucified with Christ, the term there is ego, or the ego with all the stuff that is associated with it. So, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be made to cease, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should no longer be in spiritual bondage. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So, there's a very powerful cognitive behavioral aspect to our salvation. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. Very important. The book of Hebrews emphasizes this as well. But in that he liveth, present tense, or present indicative, he liveth unto God. Likewise, adverb, likewise, reckon, and this word reckon is in the present imperative. Likewise, or in the same manner, or in this way, reckon. That is, calculate and reason, rely on that you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. That is, dead in fact unto the practice of sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, because of God's resurrection power, because of the presence of the indwelling Spirit, we have the power to make an enormous volitional act, or act of volition. We can determine that we are dead indeed unto the practice of sin. Please meditate on the language. Allow it to saturate your heart. Think about what it means to be able to live totally new, to be able to, in a totally that is well-pleasing unto God, to know that one has God's resurrection power at work in his or her life. This is an extraordinary life. But you get to understand the extraordinary nature of this life when you begin to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, or unto sinful practice. And this awakens or an entirely new world with regard to what it means to be in Christ. The Bible only uses the word Christian two times. Peter uses it, and it is used by Luke, the physician theologian who wrote the book of Acts. The Bible more often uses the term pistis, Hebrews 11. That is, believing ones. And it is vital that you understand what God has done, that you and I understand, that we come to grasp that God has made us entirely new creatures in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful life. And have a wonderful day. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich.